have your Bible this morning, I'd like to call your attention to the writings of Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll read from chapter 1 this morning, beginning at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. This is the writings of Paul the Apostle, as he is moved by the Lord to pen this letter to the Corinthian church. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." So thank you for this morning's prayer that's been offered. Appreciate very much the spirit in which it was offered, as well as the word that was spoken. I ask each of you just to pray for me as we look at this passage of Scripture together just a little while this morning. If you read the first 9 verses of this book, you'll realize that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Read over in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 18, the first 11 verses, you'll see the Apostle Paul's visit to the people at Corinth and how the Lord blessed him. He preached the gospel there at Corinth, not only in the synagogues, but throughout that city in Greece. The Apostle Paul was blessed of the Lord to convert many to the truth. Now, the Lord did the converting, we know that. The Lord is the one who allowed us to come to see and understand the truth. The Lord first regenerates, children alive, and that's the work that is completely done by the Lord. He doesn't use the gospel to regenerate. Regeneration occurs by the power of the Holy Spirit. As the scripture says, the wind bloweth where it listed, and you hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Lord doesn't use preachers to blow the wind. The Lord does that, and He works that in the hearts of His children, somewhere in their life. We're born in sin, we're shaping in iniquity, we come forth from the womb, speaking lies, and it's the Lord who redeemeth our life from destruction. That's the path we are on, is a road to destruction, and we would never love the Lord or be caring about the things of the Lord if the Lord did not first work a work of grace in our life in the sense of regenerating us. Today, if you love the Lord, if you have a hunger for the Lord, if you love the Lord's church, if you love the Lord's people, even if you don't understand why it is that you love these things, even if you're not sure why these things appeal to you or have a clear understanding of that, that's an evidence that God somewhere has spoken to you and given you life. That can only come from the Lord. A preacher can't give you life. Mama and Daddy didn't really give you life physically. We think sometimes, well, I came from my mama and daddy, but we don't have any control desired to have children and have not been blessed to have children. But then there are those that the Lord sees fit and He blesses. But it's all, it's God's gift that He's given to us. If you're alive today, you didn't make yourself alive physically, and just as you had just as much to do with your new birth as you had to do with your natural birth. It happened to us, didn't it? I don't remember a time when I was sitting there thinking, okay, today's a good day to be born naturally. Now I just come into this world and begin to live. And really, life began before I was ever delivered from my mother's womb. The life began some 9 months prior to that, when the Lord instilled life at conception. That's where life begins, and natural life begins, and that is a work of Almighty God. Only God can do that. I remember watching my daughter, my son, they didn't let me in the room back then. They didn't allow me to go in the room. They kept father as far away from that place as they could. After I went in with Lee, I kind of understood why they kept father away from that place as far as they could. But I went in with Leah, and even the doctor at that time, my dear friend, Dr. Brad, who's with the Lord. That's good to know. And I'm thankful for that. He said, okay, you take your scissors and cut the cord. I was going like, wow, I'm going to do that? Yeah, great. And I was blessed with that. And I saw the miracle that natural birth was. The miracle of God's creation. The miracle of little ones. The miracle of God's gift. The miracle of the blessings of God. And those natural blessings, you know, they are wonderful, but oh, how dark our lives would be if God just left us in the natural. It's just what we were. Because see, every little baby that's born, as innocent as they look, as sweet and nice as they look, it isn't very long before you begin to see that there's a nature in them that they inherited from us. And that nature we have, we inherited from our parents. And that nature our parents had, they inherited from their parents. And you run that bloodline all the way back to Adam and to Eve. And in Adam and Eve, we aren't okay. I'm not okay and you're not okay. And I don't care how many men stand in so-called pulpits and so-called preachers and say you're okay and I'm okay. Listen, in and of ourselves, we have the sentence of death. And there would be no hope but destruction for you and me, and no other thing to preach to God's people. No other thing to preach to anyone but death and destruction were left up to us. And God didn't leave it up to you and me to get that okay. No, He sent the very best, who came as a man, who came as the Son of Man, the Son of David, of the seed of David, of the tribe of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who became a man, the one who was. He didn't have His beginning at His birth, but he came into this world, the Son of God, who was with God in the beginning, the eternal Logos, the eternal Word of God, took upon Himself a body of flesh and was made like unto us because we were in trouble and needed a Savior and a Deliverer. And God sent a Savior and a Deliverer in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and took upon Himself a body of flesh. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. He's the Son of God. And the angels cried out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Who? What men? Men He loved in covenant. The little children of God He loved in covenant before the foundation of the world. God saw you. And saw me, saw us in our need, saw us where we were, saw us where we would be, and He redeemed. That's what Psalm 103 is about. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He forgiveth our iniquities. He healeth of our diseases. And He redeems our life from destruction. Y'all believe that today? Oh, you believing it doesn't make it so, but it'll sure make you happy. It's already so. And that is the one unifying principle, the one thing that we are to share as God's little children, the gospel, the truth, what's written in God's word, is what keeps us unified in the church. It's what holds us together. It's what keeps us from falling apart and falling out and going in every direction. And when we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and we keep our trust and our dependence in Him and lean upon Him, then our eye is focused. We're not cross-eyed, so to speak. We're looking to Jesus. He's my help. He's my strength. He's my stay. So not if, but when the storm hits your life, your house is going to stand because it's built upon that solid rock. The Apostle Paul came to them and preached to them, and the first thing he told them was all the good things that the Lord had done for them. He talked about the grace. Grace be to you. And peace. He went on and told them how the Lord had blessed them with so many gifts that they had as a church, gifts beyond any of the churches. He had so blessed them with wonderful blessings. And I look at this little congregation today and I think, oh, has the Lord been good to us? I think of the different gifts that He's given us here, the different talents, the different brethren, the different sisters, and every one of you, not all of you. I mean, we're not all called to preach the gospel. We're not all called to do this or to that. But the Lord has put a diversity of gifts among us, and in each and every brother, He has so designed them and so blessed them that they are part of the body and need to be part of the body. They need the nourishment that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be drawn together, and that they operate together in unison. And what we're about is honoring and praising the Lord. This church is not about me. If it was, it wouldn't be a good one. The church is not about you. And yet it is about us. But more importantly, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ and us, in that we are members of His body because He chose us in covenant before the foundation of the world. He regenerated you in that He changed you. He made you a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things have become new. He gave you a hunger and a thirst, and you are here today that you might be converted. You need conversion. What does that mean? That means I need to know some truth that is laid down in God's word that God can give, and God has chosen the foolishness of preaching, which appears to the world to be so foolish. But you know, when the Lord's in it, there isn't anything like preaching. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. The Apostle Paul did follow that very same pattern. When God called him to preach, He told him, you go and you open their eyes, and you turn them from darkness to light, and you turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. Somebody said, what's preaching for? Preaching does not bring the dead to life. Only God can do that. We understand that. I hope we understand. Now, there's a lot of people who think preaching is how you get one from a dead state to a state of life. My preaching in a cemetery would be, if I'm preaching to the dead are not going to hear. I'm not preaching to the dead today. I'm preaching to the living. And how are you alive? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And what do I preach? I preach the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for His people. Not what He would like to do for you, but what He has done for you. And you see the difference? I came and gave Him as an opportunity for you. And presented Jesus as an opportunity. It would say, unless you agree to the opportunity, then He's really of no benefit to you. But the reality is, what Jesus did for His people, He's done. It's complete. He bowed His head on the cross and said, it is finished. And what was finished was that work of redemption, where He took my sins, just like a garment that He would take off of me. You picture this. He took my sins and your sins, every one that I'd ever committed and will ever commit. And by the power of Almighty God, He took it like a garment and He wrapped Himself up in it. not only mine, but yours and every one of his children, there would have been no way that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a perfect man and a perfect God, could have ever died had he not borne my sin and your sins on his own body and submitted himself to death so that death would be removed from us. Isn't it good news that he's removed it from you? Some would say, I fear when I stand before God because of all the wrong things that I've done, because of the lies that I've told my mama and my daddy, or because of the way that I've lived. And I'm not telling you today that it doesn't matter how you live. I think we ought to try to live the very best we can to the honor and the praise of Almighty God. But I'll tell you this, if Jesus hadn't paid our sin debt and hadn't washed us in his own precious blood, we would stand polluted and in the sight of God, be cast away from him forever, and there would be no hope for any of us. Our salvation is not in us and what we've done. It's in him and what he's done. And that's the gospel that the Apostle Paul said we're to preach. I have you know nothing but Jesus Christ. Nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. What he did was a finished work. And I'll tell you, that is what keeps a little church together and at peace. This church, he had told them what good things they had. You know, you got to watch out when the preacher comes and starts telling you about all the good things. Following the pattern of the scripture, you check the letters to the churches in Revelation when he wrote to the churches. He'll lay down to them and he'll say, these are some things that are good. And then as soon as that happens, here it comes. This is where we miss the mark. Preaching involved, folks. I'm so thankful for you. I love you. Thankful that the Lord has allowed us to have a life together, that we've been able to live together and experience even sometimes difficult times and places. I'm thankful for the memories of baptizing. Thankful for memories of communion. Thankful for memories of preachers in the pulpit. And sometimes sitting there and feeling something wet roll down your eyes. Not even be aware that it's coming down your face until it falls. And the joy that I felt of hearing the good name of the Lord Jesus Christ preached and declared, feeling like he's come to me right on the bench, held me personally. Thankful to see some of you grow up. Some of you even getting a little old. To be young. Talking to Brother Jack. Brother Jack's pretty plain, you know, but I was talking to Brother Jack and he said, when I first saw you, you was a young fella. I was. 25 years old. He said, Brother Priest, his daddy brought me around the yard. Brother Jack was working around the church yard. He said, he looked at me and he said, what kind of preacher is that? Is that going to be? Now it ain't much, it ain't been much. But I'm thankful, you know, that it's been a wonderful life. Among God's people, going in and out, some little churches, I can't even hardly remember where they are, hearing some preachers get up, seeing some get up in the pulpit, and I think, whoa, and I thought, what Brother Jack thought, what kind of preacher is that? What's it? What's that fellow look like? He doesn't look like. You know, preachers don't look always like preachers. Matter of fact, some of them that preach the best don't look like they can preach at all. But they change in appearance when the Lord takes them and lifts them up so they get excited about Jesus. And they declare amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And you not only hear it, but you feel it. And it moves you to your core. And you go away from a place different than when you were there. Conversion. You only get regenerated once. That happens in the new birth. Some it may have happened in the mother's womb. Somebody said, I don't remember it. Some worry about it. I don't remember when I was regenerated because I don't remember ever not thinking about the Lord. I don't remember even from a little one. My first thoughts were around him. You know, I believe that character was born again in his mother's womb. Do you believe one can be born again in his mother's womb? I absolutely do. Matter of fact, I know a little baby that leaped for joy in his mother's womb by the name of John the Baptist. He didn't just kick mama. He leaped for joy. There was a joy in the mother's womb. But at some point in our lives, we're regenerated. But then the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and we hear that sound, and it means something to us. And we feel that he died, not only that he died, but that he came and that he lived a perfect life and experienced all the grief and the suffering that he did. He took my sin and wrapped himself in it and went to the cross, and there he died and removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. That gospel will hold the church in heaven. What's written in God's word is what the church needs. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, he's not commanding them like he could as an apostle. He's showing us as ministers how we're to be gentle to God's people. Now, sometimes we get up here with a message and it's not so gentle. In other words, we kind of look like we're swinging a baseball bat rather than caring as the Lord has taught us to be gentle. We're to be gentle. God's little children need to be gently taught. Doesn't mean we're not plain. It means we preach the word, but we do it humbly and meekly in a way to help and to benefit God's children. We try to lead them. We try to direct them. We don't want to scatter them. I've often said, if you're feeding lambs and sheep, you're not feeding chickens. I mean, God's little lambs and God's little sheep need to be led, and they can be scared and they can be scattered, and we don't want to do that. But we want to be faithful to the word, and he's beseeching them. He's earnestly imploring them. He says, and he calls them brethren. I always need to remember who you are. I'm talking to God's little lamb. Sometimes we feel like, well, I'd just like to tell them. You know, have you ever felt like, I'd just like to tell them exactly what I'm thinking? Boy, it's important to share. We have to be careful how we're speaking and talking to God's little lamb and sheep. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is this all about? It's to the honor and the glory of the Lord. Whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord. It's to the honor and the praise and the glory of the Lord. He says, and I implore you that you all speak the same thing. Now, what is it that we're to speak? We're to preach this book. I'm not here today and should never be here to preach politics or my ideas and thoughts about this or that. I am to preach what the thus saith the Lord is, what is written in God's word. He said to preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The Old Testament tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, it tells us that it speaks of the words of the wise. Those words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly. What that means is that the minister, as he's preaching the Bible, the truth of God's word, that which was written was upright. He says, even words of truth. And when those words of the wise are preached, that means when the gospel is preached, it doesn't scatter God's little children. It'll bring them together. It'll cause them to be unified and in one mind and in one thought. And that'll all center around the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that is the message that is all the glory, all the honor belongs to the Lord. And it's as nails and goad. A goad is like you poke something with a goad. Do y'all believe we need poking every once in a while? We need somebody to poke us. I need to be awakened. When I'm off track, I need somebody to poke me and get me back on track. When I'm falling asleep spiritually, I need someone to poke me. Have you ever had preaching poke you? In other words, you're sitting there and the Lord blesses the minister just to point out to you just what you need, because you're going off in this direction, or you've gotten complacent or taking things for granted. And the preacher goes, by the grace of God, preaching the words of the wise, that which is written in this book. And he goads you, and he brings you back, and he helps you. As the Lord bless, and it's not the minister that does that. If we get our eyes and think it's just the minister that does that, we get the same problem they had. We get our eyes on the minister. The minister wasn't crucified for you. Paul wasn't crucified for us. Apollos wasn't crucified for us. Cephas or Peter wasn't crucified for us. There was only one who was crucified for us. And if Paul or Cephas or Apollos had been crucified for us, it would not have benefited us at all, because the only thing that would have happened is a sinner would have been crucified. The only one that could actually pay the sin debt was a perfect sacrifice, and that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ was. He offered himself once to God, a perfect sacrifice for the sin of his people, and he was accepted. And therefore, we're not to serve Apollos or Paul or Brother Gary or Brother Forrest or Brother John or any other minister of the gospel. We are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get our eyes on preachers, we got our eyes in a bad spot. We're to be thankful for them. But I'm telling you, it was the Lord who died for you. And it's the Lord who paid the price for you. He says, I implore you to all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. Some people say it really doesn't matter what you preach. I said to you, it does absolutely matter what's being preached. And we don't want anything preached but thus saith the Lord, what the Bible teaches, and we're not to take anything other than that. He says, for it has been declared unto me of you by brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And that's a sad thing when there becomes contentions among the body, among the church, where you have one of this group and one of that group. And in this particular case, sometimes it can come from other sources, but in this particular case, it came from this one looking at this preacher and saying, I like this preacher, and them over here looking at this preacher and saying, I like that preacher. And what they had was a preacher problem. They had their eyes on the preachers, and their thoughts was, I'm following this man, and I want to follow him. And listen, was the Apostle Paul an apostle? Absolutely. Was he a blessing to the church? Absolutely. Was Apollos a wonderful gift and orator and preacher? Yes. The Bible says that he was a blessing to the church. Was Peter a blessing? Oh, to the Jews. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. He was a blessing to the church at Corinth. But what happened is they used even what God had given them as a blessing and began to worship those things and to worship them rather than the wonderful one who had given them every good thing. I'm thankful for the ministry the Lord has allowed us to have down through the years. But I know this, as wonderful as Elder Charles Alderton was to me and hearing his preaching and what it meant to me and Brother Mintz and a whole list of those, my dad, a whole list of those that have gone home to be with the Lord. I know this, that the Lord is the one. And you think of all the dear brothers and sisters that we've been allowed to have even among this little congregation. They were gifts that were given to us for a while, but the one that is to be worshipped, that means when they're gone, the one we worship is still here. When I'm gone, the one that you worship is going to still be here. And when you ever think, well, what's going to happen with Brother so-and-so, whoever that is, what are we going to do then? I pray you'll be filling your seat right here at this little church, realizing the blessings we've had here and we've enjoyed here didn't come from them. It came through them sometimes, but it didn't come from them. It came from Him. And what is he going to be? He's the same? Is he the same? Listen, you can think of this in the family as well. You know, what are we going to do when Grandma's not here? What are we going to do when Grandpa, Papa's not here? What are we going to do? How are we going to get along? I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ, when my mom and my dad, and the scripture says, when my father and mother forsake me, and it's not if, it's when, it's going to come. Then the Lord, hear me, the Lord will take you. The Lord will take you. Listen, the Lord, if you've got a good mother and daddy, it's the Lord who gave you them. And when they're gone, the Lord will take you up. And he's the same. Aren't you glad he's the same? And he'll be with us even unto death. I just pray after my decease, whenever that is, that there'll be God's little children right here, this little temple spot, still meeting and worshiping and honoring and praising the Lord, giving him glory and honor and praise, and being one mind. And you know, that's what keeps us from really tearing, being right in one another, right in one another's face. You know, the only thing that keeps us together, it sure ain't our politics. If we lay there at all of us today, our politics, we'd probably all get mad at one another, not even want to speak to one another. I'm glad we hope. I pray. But I'll tell you, the Word of God will keep you where you belong. And it'll help your politics, too. As you follow the Word of God, as you guide, let it be your guide. Let it be your rule. What it says, let it help you in your life. It'll help you financially. It'll help you in your home life. It'll help you in your personal life. It'll help you treat your wife like you're supposed to and your husband like you're supposed to. It'll help you raise, it's the guide that leads you to how to raise your children and to live your life. It's not just a bunch of theoretical stuff that's in your head that doesn't have any benefit to your life. It'll help you live in the way that honors and glorifies God. And when the news comes that something bad is coming into your life, you won't fall apart because you know I've got the Lord Jesus Christ who said I'm going to be with you in the storm and in the fire. And he proved it over and over in his word. He took care of the three Hebrew children, didn't he? He took care of Daniel, didn't he? He took care of that little widow woman who was making her last meal and was about to go die. And Elijah the prophet came and said, you just make that last meal for me. And she said, I would have said, didn't you hear me? It's my last meal. It's all I've got. He said, first make me a cake. She, by the faith God had given her, did what he said, and the Lord provided for her through all the drought. She went over into an empty barrel every day. You and I are sometimes looking at an empty barrel every day. And the Lord supplies that meal for that day. And we know the same barrel that he gave to us will supply the next meal and the next meal until the time comes when we won't need that anymore. Elijah stayed there by the brook until it dried up. Can you imagine every day coming, getting your drink of water, knowing that it's not raining? And the brook is going down every day. Y'all live like that sometimes? It's not getting better. There's not more water running in the brook. The brook is drying up. In other words, God's promise is, I'll sustain you. He brought him to the brook. He's waiting on the ravens to bring him food every day. The ravens. How would you like to trust ravens? I don't see too many ravens running around giving people meals, do you? I don't see them handing out anything. I see them out in the road picking at dead things and eating and doing those kinds of things. But I don't see them bringing us food, do you? But I'm telling you, these ravens did, because God sent them. God provides what they need. And as he stood there and waited for the brook to dry up, when the time came to move, he stayed there until God said move. And when the brook dried up, he said, now go to the widow woman. And I told her to provide for thee. This woman who didn't have nothing. My life is filled with widow women. My life is filled with rape. Your life is too. Take care of you. God does. Be of one mind. Be of one mind. Be of good mind. I'm not near where I ought to be on this text, but I'm gonna close with one verse over at the end of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to close it. read this in here. Jumped out at me this week. It's meant so much to me. It's the 11th verse of the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Sometimes the Apostle Paul says, finally, and then he'll write a couple more chapters. In this case, he says, finally, and he's got just a couple verses. He says, finally, brethren, farewell. He didn't just say bye, though. You know, sometimes we think the word, my thoughts about the word farewell, farewell just means goodbye. Farewell really literally means be well. It means fare well. It means rejoice and be glad in the Lord. It means live your life in a good way, honoring and looking to the Lord. It is saying goodbye, but it's saying it in this sense, you be happy in the Lord. I'll leave you with that today. You be happy in the Lord. You be happy. I want you to be happy. I don't want you to go out here and say, I want you to trust in the Lord. I want you to lean upon Him. I want you to find peace in Him. I want you to rest in Him. Whatever happens, you be happy. You be happy in the Lord. Be farewell. I hope when you think of that word, you won't just hear when somebody says farewell. We don't say that much anymore, but it's a good word to say. God's little children, farewell, baby. You be happy. Be glad and rejoice in the Lord. And then he says, be perfect. Oh, wow. Be perfect. It doesn't mean to be without sin. That means you draw as close to Jesus as you can. That means you try to walk like Him and talk like Him and follow Him and the pattern He's laid out for your life. You try to take up your cross and follow Him to the best of your ability by the grace of God. You be perfect. Be whole. Be complete. I mean, we're complete in Him. Trusting in Him. And then he says, be a good comfort. Isn't that good words? I need comfort, don't you? Be a good comfort. Farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. And then he says what I've been talking about. Be of one mind. That means keep your mind on the Lord. Keep your trust in Him. Keep your faith in Him. You remember Him. When you get the world distracting you, ignore them. Go to your closet. Shut the door. And talk to the Lord. And leave it in the Lord's hands. You be of one mind. You look to Him. When brethren come to you with a problem, you take it to Him. You lean on Him. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. And I love this. Live in peace. I need some peace, don't you? That means peace within, in my heart, because He's reconciled me to Him. It means peace with my brethren in the church, because they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it means peace in this world. I do as much as I can live peaceably with men in this world. I don't have to have my way. Sometimes I feel like I have to. I gotta have my right. I gotta have my way. I gotta do my thing. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And we lose so much joy worried about stuff that we should have just turned over to the Lord and let it go. Leave it in His hands. He said, be of one mind. Live in peace. And I want you to get this part because it can easily be missed. And, in other words, those are things He's told us to do. Y'all agree that's our responsibility to do that, right? I don't see Him suggesting this. I don't see Him saying, maybe you can do it if you want to. This might be a good idea. He didn't say that. He said, these are the things we ought to do. And then there's a promise. He says, and, get this, the God of love and peace shall, I like the shalls of the Bible, don't you? Shall be with you. That's not an if. That's not a maybe. That's not a might. It's a promise. Do we desire the God of love and peace to be with us? Absolutely. Then we ought to be about our Father's business, looking to Him and leaning upon Him. There's a sense, no matter what we do, that nothing will separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But the manifest presence of the Lord is felt when God's little children lean and trust and walk in the way that He's laid out for us to walk. May the Lord bless us to find those wonderful times and places for His honor and praise and glory. them out before our whole life. I appreciate your kind attention this morning, and you have a mind to pray, remember me, God bless.